paths which we take, obviously, is to take shelter at Krishna's lotus feet through his holy names. So, Hare Krishna. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jayom Vishnupada Paramam Saharabhaja Gacharya Tathasutta Sisimathis Divine Grace Silabe Charanaravinda Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaja Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anand Koti Vaishnavarinda ki jai. Samavita Bhakta Varinda ki jai. Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Chapter 1, text 11. Please repeat.
Etam
nirityamananam
ijatam
akuto vayam
yoginam
please. those who are completely free from all material desires. Of those who are desirous of all sorts of material enjoyment. Akuta bhayam, free from all doubts and fear.
Yoginam,
of all who are self-satisfied. Nripa,
O king.
Nirnitam,
decided truth.
Harehe, of the Lord Shri Krishna. Nama,
holy name.
Anu,
after someone always.
Kirtanam, chanting. The translation of this verse is, it is coming in the conversation of Maharaj, Shukadev Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit. O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the vase of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from all material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and also those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. In the previous verse, the great necessity for attaining attachment to Mukunda had been accredited. There are different types of persons who desire to attain success in different varieties of pursuits. Generally, the persons are materialistic or are materialists who desire to enjoy the fullest extent of material gratification. Next to them are the transcendentalists who have attained perfect knowledge about the nature of material enjoyment and thus are aloof from such an illusory way of life. More or less, they are satisfied in themselves by self-realization. Above them are the devotees of the Lord, who neither aspire to enjoy the material world nor desire to get out of it. Could you understand? There are the materialists who wish to enjoy the world, and then the transcendentalists who have become disillusioned and they are removing themselves from this materialistic understanding and try to satisfy within themselves by self-realization. But then there are the devotees, totally different than the two, who neither desire to enjoy the material world nor desire to get out of it. They are after the satisfaction of the Lord Shri Krishna. In other words, the devotees of the Lord do not want anything on their personal account. If the Lord desires, the devotees can accept all sorts of material facilities. And if the Lord does not desire this, the devotees can leave aside all sorts of facilities, even up to the limit of salvation. Nor are they self-satisfied, because they want the satisfaction of the Lord only. In this verse, Sri Shukadev Goswami recommends the transcendental chanting of the holy name of the Lord. By offenseless chanting and hearing of the holy name of the Lord, one becomes acquainted with the transcendental form of the Lord, and then with the attributes of the Lord, and then with the transcendental nature of his pastimes, etc. Here it is mentioned that one should constantly chant the holy name of the Lord after hearing it from authorities. This means that hearing from the authorities is the first essential step. Hearing of the holy name gradually promotes one to the stage of hearing about his form, about his attributes, his pastimes, and so on. And thus the necessity of the chanting of his glories develops successively. This process is recommended not only for the successful execution of devotional service, but also even for those who are materially attached. According to Sri Shukadev Goswami, this way of attaining success is an established fact, concluded not only by him, but also by all other previous acharyas. Therefore, there is no need of further evidence. This process is recommended not only for the progressive students in different departments of ideological success, but also for those who are already successful in the achievement as productive workers, as philosophers, or as devotees of the Lord. My dear devotees, now comes a longer explanation about the need to avoid the 10 offenses so that one gets maximal result on this path. It's a long purport. And I remember it was once read during an initiation ceremony where Srila Prabhupada, it was in Paris, in the center of the town, gave initiations, and he had one of his servants read out the 10 offenses from this particular piece. We have dealt with the 10 offenses already in our course, so I will not go into it at this stage, but I highly encourage you to read this in your private reading time. I always find it's very useful to hear how Prabhupada, from different angles, different perspectives, brings out new things on avoiding this. I wanted to just read one part here. Since the holy name and the Lord are of one and the same identity, one should not try to bring the holy name into the service of mankind. The idea is that the Supreme Lord is also the Supreme Enjoyer. He is no one's servant or order supplier. Similarly, since the holy name of the Lord is identical with the Lord, one should not try to utilize the holy name for one's personal service. Hare Krishna. O descendant of King Bharata, one who desires to be free from all miseries this happens sometimes in old age. I read the wrong verse. O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from all material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and also those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vistaya Bhutale Srimata Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pacharini Nirvishesha Shamimali Asgatyadi Satani Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasavi Gopaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Some devotees say that it is with this verse that the instructions of the Bhagavatam start in all seriousness. Remember, there are two scenarios in the Bhagavatam. The first is that there are some sadhus, or not some, it's 80,000, who've come together in the sacred forest of Naimisharanya to do a yagya which would avert or take care that the troubles of Kali Yuga would not overwhelm the people in Kali Yuga. And in the midst of the yagya, their face are blackened, so much smoke, they develop a doubt. Is this really the way? Is this effect? Will this work? Will there be no Kali Yuga in New York or anywhere else when we do this yagya? And they develop a doubt. This is the first sinner. So they want to know the proper means. Now, then comes a narration. Sukadev Sudha Goswami tells the saints, "My dear saints, I was in a discussion where the greatest of all saints explained really what is the best for all human beings, what is the best method. I was there, I said, and I heard it, and I will now repeat this to you. I was there when the great emperor Parikshit Maharaj had renounced his kingdom and was sitting on the banks of the Ganga with one question and one question only. His question was, what is the duty of someone who is destined to die? What is the best thing for him to do? And Sukadev Goswami answered by saying the constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all. Do you follow? The question is, what's the summum bonum? What is the best to do for the benefit of human beings? And in answer to this question, the instructions of Sukadev Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj are repeated. Why is this the best? Because why is this the best for all classes of human beings? Well, because it is relevant for three types of people. The first is, what was it? Yes, those who they are free from all material desires. For them, these highly advanced jnanis, it's the best. Then it is also the best for those who would want material enjoyment, the kamis, or let us not be so, let me say, so thoughtless. We sometimes, I mean, I think it's a sorry thing to say before breakfast, and please don't be angry and give me no breakfast today, but we also have sometimes material desires, but still you can chant and become free from the desires and develop Krishna consciousness, pure Krishna consciousness, and then there's another class of people who are self-satisfied because they have attained transcendental knowledge. For all of them, this is the best. So it's a treatment for all people in the material world. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes in his commentary, we have to ask the question, among all the limbs of bhakti, which one, single one, is defined as the chief one and stands out like an emperor exerting power everywhere? Now imagine all the different processes of bhakti come together in one assembly. There's hearing about Krishna, there's remembering Krishna, there's worshipping Krishna. Many, many methods like this, how to attain Krishna. Now, which one is like the emperor who stands out amongst the different dukes and kings and is supreme? And he says, it's this verse which answers this. It says, the constant chanting of the holy name is the best process for all. And then he says, this was also explained in earlier in the Bhagavatam, in text 5. It says, there are one who desires to be free from all miseries. Do you want this? No. Oh, you're always so sleepy in the morning, like me. Please listen. It's so difficult to talk to an audience which just thinks, oh, when is this torture over? I will give my best to really bring out a point which will make you burn with happiness. So, one who desires to be free from all miseries must hear about, glorify, and also remember the personality of Godhead, who is the super soul, the controller and the savior from all miseries. What happens, my dear devotees, when you hear about Krishna, when you chant his holy name, listen to it, or when you hear his pastimes? Krishna, listen to this, Krishna becomes pleased with you. And he who is Savatma, and also the Ishvara becomes active. He is present everywhere as a super soul, and he controls everything. He can do everything. And he thinks, this person has chanted my holy name, or at least is trying to do so. Let me help this person by helping him to overcome his countless obstacles on the path. In one of the lectures, we have discussed that the main obstacle which we conditioned souls face is that we are not really interested in Krishna. We have turned our back to him. We have turned a cold shoulder on him. And this is a great problem, which is the root cause of all our entanglements and problems. We have misguided desires which pull us in the wrong direction. So these desires are so strong. This tendency to reject Krishna is so absolutely strong. It is so difficult to overcome that in order to be successful in this project of stopping this being against Krishna, being his competitor, the only way really is Krishna's mercy. He has to come. He has to bind your mind with his love, and then your way is free. Your way is only freed when Krishna himself takes the initiative, and he does so by coming in the form of his holy name and releasing you. Yesterday I had some very nice devotees as my guest. But Maharshi had given me extremely powerful sweets, and I think those devotees had heard about it, so I had many guests, yesterday, and I told one young devotee couple that, see, this that we say chanting is the best process, and that the Bhagavatam says this, is not just some extraordinary glorification which has no basis. The reason why the chanting is the best process is because in the chanting, Krishna, who is the goal of all devotional and all processes, I mean God realization is the thing. By chanting, Krishna becomes so pleased that he appears in the heart and destroys all what is in the way for God realization. And then I told this devotee, my favorite story about the holy name. I believe some of you must have heard it, but it's so good one can hear it again. The story goes like this. There was once, it's a mystical story, you have to think very hard, that once in a darkened forest lived a girl whose parents had died. She didn't know her parents. Now, this is an analogy for the soul. The soul is also of a female nature in relationship to God. We are Prakriti, and the Lord is the only enjoyer, the only male, so to say. So it's a girl which is lost in a forest. She has one friend, and that is a little bird. She's very poor. One day, the bird is found missing. For 6 months, the only friend of this abundant girl who doesn't know as her parents is not there. After 6 months, the bird returns and it has news. The bird says he had flown across the three rivers and the eight oceans. No, nine oceans. Nine oceans. It had come to the hugely opulent palace of a very kind king. And this king ruled over his subjects like a father over his children. He only had the welfare of the citizens in mind. And therefore, there was a loving atmosphere in the palace and around. The girl heard this and developed an impossible desire. Oh, said the girl to herself, I would like to come to this king. I would like to meet him. I would like to serve him. I would like to love him. But I'm here somewhere separated by nine oceans and three raging rivers. It is not possible. So the bird, little bird, made a hopeful atmosphere. He said, in case you don't know bird language, this means, don't despair. This king is very powerful. He will make an arrangement. A little later, there was a loud knocking at the door of the little hut of the girl, and when she hastened to open, she had no idea who it could be, because she was alone in this forest. When she opened, there was a man dressed in beautiful opulent clothes, and he introduced himself. He said, I am sent by my king. I'm his messenger. The king says he wants to see you. What king? Now the king who lives across the three rivers and the nine oceans. That's I heard about the king, and when I sorry when I heard about him. One moment. Krishna. When I heard about him, I wanted to meet him. And I wanted to be with him and love him. Yes, this king has now taken the initiative. He has brought me here. Come with me. You mean just now? Yes. Do you have anything of value to take along? No, she said. I'm so poor. See, this is a useless little hut. So they went. And what was very interesting for the girl is that at all the rivers there were boats. It seemed to be arranged. There were guest houses where they rested, and there were huge sea-going vessels with experienced sea people, you know, captains, who brought her swiftly over all obstacles into the kingdom. And soon she stood before the palace. But she was unhappy because she felt she is the worstest person. The king had sent a messenger to bring her to himself, but she had fallen in love with the messenger. How could she do this? She really loved the messenger and always wanted to be only with the messenger. Hare Krishna. She felt, what am I? What is my value? What is my character? This is not good. So the messenger said, I will say goodbye now to you. I have brought you. What? You want to leave me? Well, I brought you to the king, no? A girl swallowed dry, is how we say in Switzerland, with agony. My servants will the servants will bathe you and give you a good dress so that you can appear before the king and great, nicely refreshed and everything. So the girl took a bath, was dressed, and went into the hall of the king, not knowing what to expect. But when she looked at the throne, whom did she see on the throne? It was the messenger. And she could understand that king had come personally to release her from her impossible and very bad situation in that dark forest where she was abandoned, and had made all the arrangements necessary to come and cross the obstacles and bring her into his kingdom. She cried tears of ecstasy. Now, my dear devotees, this is a deep story. Everything means something in this story. Who is the bird? The bird who comes with a happy message is the spiritual master who comes and gives this message. Don't despair. You have hope. The messenger, who could be the messenger of the king, who is identical with the king, who comes into the forest? Vishvabha. The holy name. You know everything, Vishvabha, including a groovy rhythm on the Vedanga. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Vishvabha. come up later day. The holy name came, but because the girl is like us, who can't recognize that this is Krishna, he came unrecognized, so to say. Then he brought the girl over the three rivers. These are the three gunas, and the nine oceans are the nine elements: earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Then mind, intelligence, false ego, and sometimes citta, or that is a collective consciousness, or it's a difficult thing. So sometimes this is the ninth. She was brought, and then came the meeting, which hopefully one day we also have. When we recognize, my God, the holy name is identical with the King of all kings in his transcendental kingdom, the Lord, our Lord, Hare Krishna. Can you understand why this is my favorite story? It is so heart-touching, and it expresses really the secret of the holy name. That the holy name, as Prabhupada writes here, is totally identical with the name. Since the holy name and the Lord are of one and the same identity, one should not try to bring the holy name into the service of mankind. We always have to serve the holy name. It's like this. And we have to serve Krishna. This is the right thing. So, the question now is, how can each one of us learn to relate properly to the holy name? That's the main and only question. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the 15th chapter of Harinam Chintamani, puts a question before Haridas Thakur. He says, please describe now Nam Rasa, the taste of the holy name. How can the conditioned soul become qualified to taste that nectar? My dear devotees, if each one of us could only chant the holy name with deep abiding faith and taste, our whole life would be absolutely free from any trace of material misery. So the question is, how can we learn this? What should we do to do it? And an answer is given that by kirtan, this taste is gradually evoked. Haridas Thakur explains that when one chants kirtan with devotees, after some time, one naturally will want to serve the Lord, one naturally will want to offer obeisances to the Lord, one naturally wants to carry out his orders, and one naturally wants to surrender everything to him. It comes. It's because the holy name will cleanse, when we do kirtan, will gradually cleanse the heart of all these obstacles, and then you will naturally develop these desires. You can force yourself for some time in the service of the Lord to do service. You can force yourself to offer obeisances I always see this when I come in the winter to Radhadesh. The devotees always force themselves out in the cold to offer obeisances, and I feel no need, it's cold, you will get your knees will be cold, and your fresh, nicely washed dhoti is becoming dirty. Stay if you want to offer obeisances. Do this in your heart. I don't want to be the cause of your misery, and so on. But they say no. We want to do. I have noticed this sometimes, and I feel always embarrassed. Maybe I think maybe I should put a mask on, then no one will recognize me. I should serve the devotees, not that they serve. But some natural inclination sometimes comes to us. The natural, you can force yourself. I know if I would stay a little longer in Radhadesh, no one would do it, because they have to force themselves to do it. By force, you can do for some time, but not for all the time. By force, you can tell yourself, I must now do what Krishna says. By force, you can surrender, but not for a long time. Only when the obstacles in your heart are removed by Krishna, not you can't do it yourself, my dear devotees, then you will naturally find yourself serving the Lord, offering obeisances, carrying out His order and surrender to Him. There is no question of not doing it. It's like a river. The river will always flow, or like the wind, it will always blow. It will flow naturally, the river. It blows naturally, the wind. There is no thought, should I not blow or should I not flow today? Maybe I should rest? No. It's the nature to flow and blow. In the same way, when you do sufficient kirtan, you want to naturally surrender to Krishna. I always find this when I come to in the summer to Radhadesh, and I do, I preach about the holy name for 1 week. I only speak Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, and so on. And I have come to the evening programs. I come to as many kirtans as I can do, time-wise, and I feel, wow, so inspired. I want to naturally do all these things and put order in my life, surrender everything and offer obeisances to Krishna. It comes naturally. So the kirtan instills this natural Krishna consciousness, because it is Krishna who comes and who removes the obstacles to that natural execution of Krishna consciousness. With Krishna's help, everything is possible. But since some of you are intellectuals, I want to also give another process which Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives, how you can develop taste in the chanting of the holy name. Those of you who take notes, this is a good time, because it's something like a bhajan pranali, a guideline how to enter deep chanting. The first thing is, you must hear about Krishna so that you turn your attention to Krishna. This is how the whole process starts. We must hear about Krishna again and again, because then we give Him attention. The second step, my dear devotees, is you must avoid the offenses against chanting the holy name, those which block it. And then you should increase you should increase your chanting. The way I recommend it always to devotees, concentrated chanting, you can do 16 rounds, but throughout the day, you should sing the holy name. Why not? what will you do? Just go through your days, look around. Why not sing? I once was in the Zurich airport, just going through security, and I was singing. Not very loud, I didn't want to disturb everyone, it was not like, but I was singing, Hare Krishna, 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 Krishna. And a businessman was before me, and then when we had cleared security, he was putting his mobile phone back, his belt, and he looked at me and he said, wow, you're singing. Yes, I said, I feel life is so dry without a song. He said, that's right. That is a good impetus. I will also sing. So he started to sing. I don't know what, maybe a glorious song. And I continued to sing. Also, then we again met. You know, I'm always dressed like this, so that it's easy to recognize me. And again, and he said, by the way, what are you singing? I said, I also want to know what you are singing. Maybe we can exchange songs. He said, I just do some diddle-diddle, you know, something from the music, you know, some popular song. I have another song, a very good song I have. What is your song? I sing only this one song. Since 50 years, I like it so much. What? Since 50 years, the same song? Yes, I don't change Beatles, Rolling Stones, no. Same song, always. What? Chaya is so good when you have your song. It's like when you have your heart. You don't want to change the heart. You're satisfied with the heart. No surgery required. That's interesting. What is it? I said, do you have a moment time? Yeah, of course. So we sat down and I explained it's a mantra. And this my song has an effect to free the mind from all miseries. And I made it as tasty as I could. And then I wrote it down, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. And I said, you can Google and YouTube, good kirtan, you can find various melodies, but the song is the same. Melodies you can choose according to your taste. And then you can do it. He said, thank you. Thank you very much for this gift of the song that never changes. I hope he you know, many times I meet people like this and I meet them again after 20 years, 30 years at some conference or whatever. And they say, yeah, you gave me a song. I always say, this is what happened to me. I met the devotees, and there was one devotee who, I was 13 years old, he wrote down the names of the holy name, and I started to chant first, only when I was afraid, when after horror movies, I say. But then I became more steady. So, yes, because it makes the mind free from misery. So this is, but you must avoid the offenses at one stage. Then, I wish you a wonderful day. A Goshala meeting will have soon. The cows will have a Goshala. Hare Krishna. Then it becomes something which is very new for you. Then you must meditate on Lord Krishna's handsome form. And you can do this in two ways. One is more difficult, which is more for the older devotees amongst us. They will chant and remember Krishna's pastime. It comes to them and they will see it in their inner eyes. But that's a little for the older. It happens automatically. You can't force it. For us, the younger ones, it is good if we sit before the deity or a picture of the deity or some type of altar. And as we chant, our eyes rest on the beautiful form of the Lord. Because after all, it's the name of the Lord. We are addressing the Lord. It's easy. Bhaktivinoda says, one gazes at Lord Krishna's deity form, standing before him, and one meditates on the holy name. And then all the gifts come. I don't want to speak on the highest gift, because when we only hear the highest, we want to know what we can do now. So, first thing is hear about Krishna. Second thing is chant his name and avoid the offenses. And third is, you have to relate your chanting to Krishna. Chant before the deities. That's why here in our Radhadesh temple, the devotees always chant in the evening before the deities for Radha Gopinath. A wonderful relationship starts. I have seen the young devotees, Achyuta Priya and her brother Ananta Govinda, and then there are all types of devotees in all sizes. You know, they are, it's a whole huge family with many young and not so young members, you know. And they all like to chant before Radha Govinda. These are the deities in the Brooklyn Temple in New York. And they do this since they are children. And now they have a very good relationship to the deities. They can't imagine to be long away from the deities. Everything for them is Krishna. Krishna is not no longer a theoretical person. He's really a well-established person. By this process, chanting before the deities. No? Can you understand this point? Is it maybe a new point for you? But please take heed of this. Take note of it. And even if you don't have an altar, you can take a picture with you. Also here, there's a shop. So there, and the picture is available. You can purchase a picture of Radha Gopinath, and then when you go from here, chant before the picture. It is possible. It is not. If you are poor, you can just beg some Lakshmi. It will be given to you. Don't worry. For this sacred purpose, there will be always something is there. So this will be very good to combine the deity. So this is the process in the age of Kali. My dear devotees, if you can just bring your restless mind to this simple process of doing kirtan before the deity, before Krishna, then the Lord will come in your heart, remove what should not be there, and give to you what needs to be there. Hare Krishna. I will now look at my wristwatch. Oh yes, I finished for today. I could talk unlimitedly, but let's not talk so much. I want to see if you have any questions. Best is if you have doubts. If there are some doubts, we can try to remove them so that everything gets easier for you. What questions are answered? Yes, Mari.
Thank you for your lecture. I have two questions.
Really?
I'll start with one. The first one is on the mercy of the holy name, because we understand it is the Yuga Dharma, and we understand it specifically since Kali Yuga has been here. And I've always been curious to understand, until Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came about 500 years ago, and in particular for all of us, Srila Prabhupada, it seems that the chanting was very, very little in terms of location in the world. So we always say the holy name is so merciful, but how is it so merciful when it was so limited in its approach to whoever else was in the world. I'm just trying to understand.
Yeah.
You know, especially because we say in different Kali Yugas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't appear. So how does the holy name make itself available in terms of kirtan?
A good question. Mm-hmm. If he is so merciful, then why was it so rarely available? Why was it not more freely available? There, in Krishna Sanghita, Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaks of different holy names which were chanted in different ages, not just the Kali age, but the other ages. They were called Taraka Brahmanam, the name which gives Taraka means liberation. I remember one mantra went, wait a minute. Enata Narayana Sri Krishna Govinda Hare Muradi Enata Narayana Vasudeva. It's still known in Kali Yuga, but that was chanted mainly in other ages. But as you have properly noted, it was not known at Mass, in Mass. Some very elevated lovers of the Lord would chant his names. So I can only say, in terms of helping the conditioned souls who chanted the name, is always very merciful, but it has not been very merciful to the mass numbers in previous times. It needed Lord Chaitanya, and it's described, his work was, he broke open the treasure house of love of Godhead. Now, imagine this analogy is very good. A treasure house is the most guarded part of the kingdom. Usually there are land spearers who make sure that no thieves come into the treasure house, and it's well protected. It's the treasure of the kingdom, and the king may need the treasure in times of dearth, when there's not enough agricultural produce. He has to buy from a different cult, different kingdom, food for his citizens. The treasury was also necessary to equip the army with weapons in case there was aggression from outside. They needed the money in the treasury. It was never distributed to the mass of people. So Lord Chaitanya and the Panchatattva we hear did this amazing thing that it's unprecedented. It's not logical, really, because the most unqualified people get all of a sudden a chance, like us. You know, usually there is always a high qualification necessary to get the wealth. And why this is so? Different Vaishnavas have different theories. They say Lord Chaitanya is the most magnanimous, and like a person who wants to give charity, he can choose whom he wants to give charity. Others say it all started from Nityananda. He was drunk with love of God. He started all this Jagai Madai business, you know. different Vaishnavas have different preferences to explain an unexplainable miracle, that the treasure of love of Godhead was made available. So in answer, I would say the holy name is always merciful in terms of the applicant, or the person who applies the holy name. But that type of mercy was not shown in the way of Lord Chaitanya chose to give mercy, and that is to make it into a mass movement which chanted. I'm at the moment reading a book from the library. I put it back in the library in case anyone, you know, it's no problem. So there in this book there is a mystical saint, Kabir, who says, who was a weaver. He was weaving cloth. He came from a socially low background, and he somehow became or was a great, great saint, and he had deep faith in the holy name, and he wanted to also preach the holy name, but he knew, because he was from a Muslim background and he was from a very low income background, no one would listen to him. So he didn't take sannyas. Like what he did is, listen to this, he knew that the greatest saint of Varanasi, Ramananda, who was a Ram Bhakta, would go every morning to a certain ghat to take his bath. So this Kabir, he was lying down on the steps of the ghat in the darkness. And when Ramananda, he couldn't see him. When he came, he stepped on his head. When Ramananda noted his foot had stepped on someone's head, he said, "Ram, Ram!" You know, he was shocked. Kabir got up in silence and walked away. And from that day, he declared himself a disciple of Ramananda. So Ramananda heard about it and he said, "I don't remember initiating you. How can you make this claim?" He was a very caste-conscious person. So Kabir was brought. "Bring me this Kabir. Bring me this Kabir." So Kabir was brought, and Ramananda was sitting behind a curtain so that he didn't see Kabir, and Kabir couldn't see him. He was very caste-conscious. And from the curtain came the voice, "You are that person who claims to be my disciple, that viva?" "Yes, Guru Maharaj." "How do you dare to call me like this? You gave me initiation that morning. Your lotus feet touched my head, and then you initiated me by giving me the holy name, Ram Ram." "Now I chant Ram Ram." And he wrote then a very beautiful poem. "I have become a weaver of the holy name. I'm stopping weaving the cloth of this world, which will entangle me. I weave only the garment of the holy name." And then he gives a whole analogy, what is the thing which goes back and forth. It's realization of the name's glory, you know, which goes, you know, the thing in the weaving thing. And this cloth is this, and that cloth is that. He has a whole idea, and so on. And yes, there are some bhaktas of chanting. We don't hear that he had contact with Mahaprabhu, and I should know the time. Maybe he was before. I think he came before Lord Chaitanya. Anyone here? We have our students. Maybe not there. There was a student who wrote about Kabir.
He came in 14th century.
14th.
Before
1300. Okay, so he also knew about the chanting, and it was known to some rare souls, but it was rare. It was. We also don't hear that there was a mass sankirtan movement around Kabir, but they would give this very secretly, the name. It was a big secret. Yes, this is should we see Manu, that there is another question, or should we, yes, other questions there, or should we take Manu's second? Is it all right if I, we can store your question, I'm here, yeah, Sunil.
Harishmaj, in the purport, Prabhupada says that here it is mentioned that one should constantly chant the holy name of the Lord after hearing it from authorities. This means that hearing from authorities is first essential.
Yeah.
So, when we've all heard the holy name, we've heard it maybe on a recording, we've heard it maybe when we go to the temple, someone's, a friend has said it. What does it mean here by saying hearing from authorities? Does that mean when one takes initiation or shelter? Or does it mean something?
Yes, hearing from authority. See, for chanting the holy name, this is explained very much was the practice of Mahaprabhu. Initiation is not the requirement. It's not. The holy name is independently powerful of any everything else, including initiation. But we cannot hear from the lips of a non-devotee who explains it without Sambandha, who says, oh, when you chant the holy name, you chant to the unborn within you, then the bhakti cannot come. So the authorities are there. There's still, we put emphasis on that a relationship to spiritual master is required for guidance. It is required also for, it brings another form of commitment. When we give vows and so on, we commit ourselves to the process, and that is good. And also it establishes a firm connection to the parampara. But the chanting that must be said is independent of initiation. But Mahaprabhu, when he chanted with the smart holy name, he didn't, that many people who chanted were not initiated. They did not take shelter at Guru, but they got the name from the Lord, what better can you want, They chanted without. The hearing from authorities here, you must hear from proper sadhus about the whole background of chanting the holy name. Sambandha, who are you? Who is Krishna? And what is the process? That is important. And that we all really hear from Prabhupada. That is there. Anyone who comes in contact with this movement, after 10 minutes of reading the books, you understand I'm a servant of Krishna. You very clearly understand. Therefore, Prabhupada, before, when he gave initiations in the beginning, he gave it very easy. Mukunda Maharaj describes, he came to Prabhupada and said, so we will initiate you, but first, who are you? I'm a servant of Krishna. Who is Krishna? The Supreme Personality of God. You are qualified. this is hearing from authority. It relates to Sambandha Gyan. Three items are there in Sambandha Gyan. Who are we? Who is the Lord? And how do we relate to Him and to the world? My dear devotees, I have seen now the time factor is there. We want to start in proper time at 11:30. Therefore, we should not go over time. I thank you very much. Please remember, how did you appreciate that story? It has something, isn't it? It has something. All the best. Have a wonderful day in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna.